All right, so if you'll turn again to Hebrews, but this time Hebrews chapter 1 is where we want to be. We are concluding today our series of communion messages from the first paragraph of Hebrews. And I've been working through each of these statements. I find them to be full of meaning as we go through. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that in these last days, God has spoken to us in His Son. So as we think about the Son and His place in our consciousness and His place in the universe, His message weighs on our hearts, giving us every reason to rely on Him. So let's read that first paragraph again. I'm going to read from verse 1 through verse 3, and the scripture says, in these last days, well, this is verse 2, I've only got verse, I don't have the whole thing on the screen, so let me just read from my Bible. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory, and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than angels as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. So the last phrase in this series of phrases about the Lord Jesus is He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So He is the heir of all things who has spoken to us. Since the Creator of the world has spoken to us, since the radiance of His glory has spoken to us, since the exact representation of His nature has spoken to us, since the One who upholds all things has spoken to us, since the purifier of sins has spoken to us, since the One seated at the right hand has spoken to us. Then in the words of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. The whole emphasis of especially the first couple of chapters of Hebrews is to pay attention to the Son. And we're going to concentrate on this phrase, seated at the right hand, in our message today. So the idea here is sometimes called Christ's session. Session is a seating, His session at God's right hand. It includes in it the teaching of the ascension up into glory. 40 days after the resurrection, after all the final preparations of the apostles, our Lord took the disciples to the Mount of Olives. And there He gave them, for the final time, the Great Commission. As it's recorded in the book of Acts, He says to them, that you shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. By giving them that commission, He made them, those who were His disciples, He made them His apostles, the ones who were sent. That's what the word apostle means, sent ones. And He left them there to take up His mission. Now, I have a proposition for our message today, and it is this. The work of redemption is complete, but the worker yet lives to make intercession for His people. He continues to serve His people through His ministry at the right hand of Majesty on high. So, the first thing that we want to emphasize then is the work is complete. The work began at the very moment of the fall. When Adam and Eve in the garden after the first sin had heard the voice of God, the work began at that moment because they hid themselves. It says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And so it seems to me that it is almost immediately. They had very little time. There is the moment of the fall, the moment of the temptation. The woman takes the fruit, whatever it was, and she gives it to the man, and he takes the fruit, and he eats of it. And they realize then in that moment that they are naked. Now, whatever is included in those words is probably more than we can fully appreciate. But they realized now that they were defenseless. They were vulnerable. So they tried to cover themselves. When they heard the voice of God, and it seems like how much time could have elapsed? Not very much time. Within an hour or 2 hours or a few hours at the most, from the moment of the first sin, they hear the voice of God in the garden. And they know that they're wrong. They know that they have blame, and they have shame, and they hide themselves. And so as God deals with them, he pronounces on them the curse. Cursed is the ground, cursed is the woman's childbearing, and so forth. But he predicts a solution. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Now, there's a lot of debate how much the woman understood from that about that verse, about what God was going to do. But there is a remarkable statement after she gives birth to her firstborn son, Cain, and she makes this statement, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And the indication or the implication is that somehow she thinks that perhaps this is the road towards redemption. This is what God had promised. There is a link there, at least in the ideas. Obviously, Cain wasn't the answer. So, one can trace throughout the Old Testament the work and the worker through the long narrative of history. As we go through all of that time, we have the rise of Cain's generations and all those who are opposed to God. We follow the line of Seth, which is the godly line. It leads us all the way down through Enoch and Methuselah and Noah. Those were faithful ones, it appears, faithful to God. And then God judges the world with a flood. After the flood, the nations rise again, and they still persist. Even the descendants of Noah persist in rebellion against God. One would think that those who had a father like that or grandfather like that would have some kind of sense that God is not to be trifled with, and yet they did not. And so they developed in their nations again against God. Out of those nations, God chose one person to through whom he said he would bless all the nations of the world. And so God worked in the life of Abraham. He suffered the ups and downs of his life as he, through Abraham, produced the people who would produce the one who would come. During that period, he chose one of them, a king, to give his worker the position of authority. He prepared, through that history, he prepared a virgin daughter of that king, ultimately, who would bring his son into the world. His son is the heir of all things. He is the creator. He is the radiance of his glory. He is exact representation of his majesty. He is the upholder of all things. God led his son to the cross. And there on the cross, we hear the Lord Jesus go through all of that agony. And then at the end, we have that loud cry, it is finished. The debt is paid. Many people, many preachers have remarked that in the papyri, in the Greek writings that they've discovered in the various archaeological sites, they found ancient bills for certain products. And they find out that the bill has been paid by the person who owed the money, and they use the exact same words. It is finished. The bill is paid. And that bill is for us, for our salvation. The sin debt of the human race was paid in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The well of grace was filled up to the full, and the hope of salvation is secured So, when God, in our passage here, he says, when he had made purification of sins, when it was complete, he sat down. You know, I've been, this last week, or 2 weeks, or several weeks, I've been working on my deck, trying to rebuild my deck. That's part of my, it's my burden and my gift to my wife. She wanted a new deck. And so, at the end of the day, my work isn't complete, of course. When I finish this deck, I'll be so glad. I'll be so glad. But at the end of the day, I sit down. I'm exhausted. The day is complete. When you sit down, you're not working. So the point, that's the point of my illustration. It says here, when he had made purification of sins, he sat down. The work is complete. That's the point. We have from Psalm 110 that call of the Lord, the Father says to the Son, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So the fact that he is seated means his work is finished. And Hebrews 10 will point out, by the way, that the human priest never sits down. The human priest serves daily in the temple. The human priest is offering lambs and rams and bulls and so forth in the temple. Every day, day after day, his work is never done. When this priest accomplished his work, the work was complete. It was done. The high priest sat down. The work is complete. So that's the first point about his session, his sitting at the right hand of God. The work of redemption is complete. The second point is this. The worker is in authority. Now, we already mentioned the passage where God calls for him to sit at his right hand. Until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. I'd like to read another psalm, Psalm 2, as we think about this. As he sits, it speaks more than just completion. It does speak of authority. The nations rage against him. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Well, they think they can rebel against God, but God simply responds, verse 4, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. And then verse 5 and 6, then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. And so with this setting, there is not only the completion of his work, but there is the position of respect and authority at the right hand of God that is part of all of the prophecies that are made about him, about where who he is to be and how he is to rule. And so we already mentioned Hebrews 2 verse 1, but I'm going to read it again. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. The tendency of human beings is to have an interest in shiny new things. You know what it was like at Christmas to receive a gift, a cherished gift, something that you longed for wished for, and then you play for as children, you play with it for a few weeks, maybe a few days, and the thing is broken. And it's you know, you get these cheap things that you buy, kids get sucked in. I remember as a kid, I had all these Kenner construction sets. And they were just the thing to have when I was a little boy. And, you know, now you look at them and think back to them, just, you know, really cheap plastic. Somebody made a killing on those things. There was hardly any cost to them. And they soon wore out. We used to, you have these plastic girders you'd fit together. And then they had little pegs on it, and they had plastic windows that you could stick on the outside. You can build yourself a skyscraper with your Kenner construction set. And pretty soon those little holes in the plastic would wear through and the things wouldn't stick on properly. And after a while, it's just a pile of junk in your toy box. That's the way it was. Well, our hearts are prone to wander. When the shiny new thing isn't shiny anymore, we wander away from it. Our flesh is weak. And what we have to realize about our Lord Jesus is that we should not wander from Him. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. The Lord, our Lord, is greater than our flesh, and we need to listen to Him and trust in Him. He is in authority over us. And then the worker is in sympathy with his people. There's more to his session than merely the completion of his work and the assurance of his authority. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Therefore he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." There's a couple other passages that speak about intercession. Romans 8:34 says, "Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. He knows our frame. He knows we are but dust. He knows our weakness, and he intercedes." 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, one of my favorite passages, I would have to say, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." The fact is that we do wander, and that we do need to be called back, and that we do need an advocate with the Father who will plead our case before him. So not only is the work of redemption complete, not only is he the one we should follow, but he is the one who actively advocates for us. Hebrews 9:24 says, "For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." So as we take part in communion today, what I want to remind you about in just reciting these passages and thinking about this theme is that we serve a living Lord, one who lives right now in heaven, who intercedes for us and loves us. As you take part in the bread and in the juice, it will be assimilated into your body, just as you are connected with our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who sits on the right hand of majesty on high. So when you pray, you can pray directly to our Father, to our majesty on high, through the agency of the Son, who is seated at the right hand of God. It is a remarkable position that he is in, that he has accomplished for us in accomplishing our salvation. The work of redemption is complete. The worker yet lives to make intercession for his people. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we close this afternoon. We, Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us in Jesus Christ. We pray that as we celebrate communion, that we will be united with the Lord Jesus in heart, in spirit, in voice, and that we would submit ourselves to him in everything. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.